You know, it's been a weird week, hasn't it? So glad that we can all be together in this way, but it just reminds us of what a weird time that we're going through. A week or two ago, there were words or phrases that I would have never thought about, weren't part of my vocabulary. But now words like shelter in place or flatten the curve, asymptomatic, social distancing, safer at home. You know, there's all kinds of things that have become part of our just everyday vocabulary, our lexicon for our culture. And those words have become part of who we are in this new time, this new era. But I'd like to talk a little bit about another word that is not new to us, and in fact, it's very familiar to us. And it comes with the idea of what does it mean to be great? What does it mean a life, to live a life in a way with greatness as our goal? If we were to ask any and all of you here out there online to say, give me what your definition of greatness is, I know we'd come up with probably hundreds of different definitions, because it's a hard word for us to find a single definition for. At its very worst, when we think about someone who wants to be great, at our very worst, we think of someone who is selfish, who wants that acclaim for themselves, that appeal, the rewards of what it means to be great and to be recognized for it. But also there is an altruistic way of looking at this, that I simply want to be the best I can be, that I want to be effective at what I do. I want to achieve that which I have been purposed to do by God Himself. Today we're going to continue in the series that we've been walking through, and I found it very interesting as I was preparing this message for you this morning and for myself, honestly, as I've been wrestling with it this week. That this was the message that has been on the dock for over 3 months as we've been planning out this series and getting prepared for the Sunday. And this is the Sunday that it comes up, and I think it does have something to speak to us today, even as we live amidst the uncertainty of this time of quarantine. I'm going to be reading from Mark chapter 10. We're going to begin at verse 35. I'll just go ahead and read it out to you. So if you can't see it on the screen behind me, I know the screen's not visible on our video today, and we're going to try to do things in the weeks ahead to fix that, or at least get things such as either verses or songs and such to you for the future. But for today, if you don't already have it, grab your Bible. You know, get up. If it's not next to you, go get it. And we're going to read this together. We're going to start in Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 35. We'll read down through verse 45. And we're going to read this together and just hear the story and let it begin to speak to us today of what God's message is to us from this circumstance, this event that happened 2,000 years ago, but that God's still going to speak to us through it today. So I'm going to begin with verse 35. And again, if you have your Bible, get it on open. If you're using your Bible app on your phone, you can do that while you're watching the video, but that's okay. Find a way to follow along. Here, verse 35 says this: Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him, speaking of Jesus, and they said, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. And they replied, "Let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left hand in glory." "You don't know what you are asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink and be baptized in the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with, but to sit at my right hand or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the 10, the other disciples, heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them all together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. But not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." That verse, that final conclusion, is a little bit shocking, I'm sure, for those who heard it first, and should be shocking a little bit for us. This idea that God in incarnate form, who has come to die as a ransom for many, that God in human flesh has come not to be served, but to serve. And for anyone who would want to be great, and that's what we were talking about today, what does it mean for us to seek to be living a life that really matters and living to that level of being great? Jesus says that not what we'd expect him to say. That there is a sense of this idea that for us to hear that, we say, if you want to be great, then what do you expect? You hear you expect him to say you need to work hard, maybe pull a few strings, you know, climb up the ladder because that's what the world says. But Jesus says that fulfilling your purpose, being all you were created to be, is going to be accomplished through the way that you're able to serve others. Now, I know that sounds like a little trite, maybe it's a little bit cliche, but let's face it, instinctively, we don't want to serve. We'd rather be served. It's something we have dealt with and wrestled with over the course of years, actually, not only us individually, but as a church too. We have to wrestle with that question, do we want to be a serve us church, or do we want to be a service church? And it's going to change everything that we do as we begin to look, what is it that makes me comfortable, makes me happy, makes me feel secure? Or am I willing to put myself out there for the good of others, for the benefit of the kingdom of God's continuing advance, even through times of quarantine, to be a way that we can touch and serve the world around us? You know, James and John, in this story, you know, kick it off with this request for positions of privilege, or at least positions of status. And I can imagine the other 10, as they were going along, were probably thinking they're probably going to get this. Because, you know, let's be honest, sometimes we think people have advantages over us in this world. Sometimes we think people have privilege in this world. They've got strings to pull. I don't have those strings to pull. And the other 10, or at least the other 9, we're probably thinking that James and John were going to get these positions because, let's face it, Peter, along with these two, James and John, were the inner circle that Jesus seemed to hang out with the most, seemed to share the most with, seemed to beginning to rely the most upon and entrust to them the most in the way of responsibility and authority. And so for the others to hear James and John asking this question, they're probably thinking, of course, that's the way the world works. Those with those advantages always get what they need. Those who have that position or that relationship are going to be the ones who get all the benefits. But Jesus doesn't even just level the playing field here. And this is, I think, probably the part that would have shocked those first disciples, is that he doesn't level the playing field, he actually inverts it. And so for us, the challenge for us is to think the same way, not to look around at what others may have or what they may get, but look for ways that we might bless and encourage and lift up those around us. Jesus would come back to the same theme over and over again. Consider the story, if you're familiar with it, from John 13, where he's washing the feet of the disciples the night before his crucifixion. And after washing their feet, Jesus says something so crazy that it must have shocked them all, when he says, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet." And so again, he's putting that example of how he lived for them, how he lived for us, and calls us to that same example that we, in the face of whatever crisis may be going on around us, would continue to find that the Jesus way of living is a way of seeking to give yourself away and continue to look for ways to serve one another. So how do we do that, especially in times like now, when we seem to be mandated to stay away from each other? Well, we're going to do a couple of things. I'm going to make a couple of suggestions for you as we kind of walk this out. Life during quarantine is going to be a new thing for all of us. And for all of us, it's going to be filled with all kinds of insecurities and fears. But I'm going to say, do not be afraid, because God is with us in this just as he was before. God has not been undone. God has not been outdone. God has not shown himself to be incapable of overcoming the situation. So for those who are not working because of this slowdown, I know there's a lot of fears and insecurities with that. I want to encourage you to take advantage of this new, slower pace, to slow down, to find ways in the midst of this quarantine to feed your soul, rather than allowing the news and the internet and everything to begin to just crowd us out, rather than just going to your Netflix and looking for the next series to binge watch. No offense to Netflix, I don't mind binge watching. But let's look for ways that can feed our soul. Big ways, small ways. Going for a walk, taking photos of the flowers in your yard or in your neighbor's yard, getting out and seeing something and allowing God to speak to you through all that is around you. Slow down enough to take time with your loved ones. I know it's a little bit of an inconvenience. We're not used to having all the kids home from school. But maybe this is the time to reconnect with those kids. And I know maybe we'll get on each other's nerves. Hey, that's okay. Slow it down. Take this time to be with your loved ones. You know, we have a lot of opportunities because of the technology we have. I know many of you are on the Bible app. Maybe this is a time to do a new Bible study for your own self-growth. Or maybe you connect with somebody through the app that you're going to do it together. Even though you can't be in the same room, you can work on that study together and connect over that so you continue to grow and encourage each other as we grow a little bit deeper during this time of the quarantine. That old phrase, take time to smell the roses, is still, I think, very appropriate today. To look around, not only at the blessings we have and the people in our lives and the things that we can see around us, to be reminded of God's goodness. In her book, Uninvited, I brought it with me. I have it here somewhere. Here it is. Lisa Terkerst says this, and it's a great comment. I think it really speaks to this time. She says that we run at breakneck pace and try to achieve what God simply wants us to slow down enough to receive. Think about that. This is how we're wired. This is the pace of life that we run with, that we do. We run at breakneck pace to try to achieve what God simply wants us to slow down enough to receive. Maybe this is that opportunity to slow down and simply receive what God has, rather than always being on that treadmill of racing and pushing and trying to do in order to earn God's favor. But also, how do we reach out? How do we do this thing of being great by serving one another in this time when we are called to be separated? Because of this, I would encourage you with this verse. This comes out of Galatians 5. Write it down if you've got a pencil or pen to write with. Go back and look at it a little bit later. Don't look at it right now unless you're really fast finding Galatians 5. But in Galatians 5, verse 13, it says this: "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free." Now, again, here, Paul is talking in context about freedom from sin, okay? Freedom from temptation, freedom from the bonds of sin. But I'm going to suggest that this could also fit for this time of fear and hiding because we don't want to be out and in public because we don't want to be infected by this disease. But I want to encourage you to hear this. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. So this would be the challenge for our church today. I hope all of you are going to be taking notes on this and maybe even letting God speak to your hearts about this. I'm not going to offer up every suggestion that's possible. God's going to be ministering to you this day when we say, that will be my goal. How can I serve one another humbly in love? If that's our goal to be the church this week, that the church will serve the world humbly and in love, and each one of us as part of that church has a role to play in serving one another humbly in love. Because remember that the church is not a building. Maybe if you've been part of our New Life family, you've heard us do this, that when we were kids, maybe you learned this, that little cute thing that says, here is the church and here is the steeple. And it's got that nice little ring rhyme, you know, it goes like that. But here at New Life, again, you're all probably in your homes, on your jammies, and you're going to remember this, that this is how we do it. We don't say, here's the church and here's a steeple, open the doors and you see all the people, because the church is not a building with a steeple on it. The church is the people, that you and I. So this is our new rhyme. Here is the church I know it doesn't rhyme, but oh well, it's true that we are the church. And because that we are the church, we are called to do this mandate, to serve one another humbly in love. So drop somebody a card this week. Maybe somebody who's going to be shut in. Maybe somebody who's not going to have a lot of contact, who's not going to have people to touch base with them. Drop them a text. Connect with them through Facebook. Whatever way that you can do it, give them a phone call. You know, just because you can't go over to their house doesn't mean you can't call them and speak to them. You know, look for ways, and we're going to be putting this up through our Facebook, to where people have specific needs. Find ways that we can reach those needs. Run an errand for somebody who shouldn't be out. Go pick up their groceries. Go pick up some medicine for them if they are in need. Give them a call, and even if they're behind closed doors, look for ways that we can reach out with this goal of serving one another humbly in love as that goal which makes the church great and which makes us great. Because the goal of the church under quarantine is not to hide away. Your goal, because you are the church, is not to hide away, but it is love. And always will be the goal of the church is to love. The challenge of the church under quarantine at this time is to find ways to love, even while we are separated by space, even while we are separated by distance. But we are invited to find a way to care for the other person, even if we cannot be with that other person, to love that other person, even if we can't be in arm's distance of that other person, to find ways that they have a need for, whether it be simply encouragement or connection. That sense of being isolated may begin to get very, very deep for some, and I encourage us to get beyond that to the way that we can love one another, to serve one another humbly in love. So that will be our mandate for this week coming up. I'm so glad you have been here. I'm going to invite our worship team to come back to the front. We're going to say a brief prayer before we move on. Prayer of God's blessing for all of us as we seek to be the church, as we seek to serve one another with all the creativity of the Holy Spirit and His body working together. Serve one another humbly in love. Father, we pray that as we conclude our time of celebrating your goodness here in our midst, that you would also empower us to see that this time that we are in is not a time that surprises you, nor is it a time that keeps you dismayed, but has a time that you have crafted for us to be your church and to love in new ways and to find creative ways to humbly serve one another. So God, bless us as we go. Don't let us walk as those who are downcast and overrun by the challenges we face, but to find the new ways, God, that you would open for us to be your body and to bless those around us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen.